From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Earlier this month, Dr. Shahbaz Gill was interviewed on a Pakistani TV station, apparently urging soldiers there not to accept any illegal orders from military leadership. The next day, Gill was arrested in Pakistan on charges of sedition. There were reports that he was subjected to physical, emotional, and sexual abuse in the form of electrical shocks while in police custody. Dr. Gill is chief of staff to Imran Khan, chairman of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf political party and former prime minister of Pakistan. Khan was ousted from power in a no-confidence vote in April of this year. We are talking about this story because Dr. Gill also happens to be employed by the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, an affiliation that stretches back more than a decade. Gill is currently clinical assistant professor of business administration at the Gies College of Business, though he was not scheduled to teach any courses during the current fall semester. We reached out to Jeff Brown, dean of U of I's business school, who sent the following statement. Quote, although it is not possible for us to independently verify reports about his situation, we have seen reports from numerous credible news outlets that he was arrested earlier this month by Pakistani authorities and may have been subjected to abuse while in police custody. We do not condone violence. We are concerned for his well-being, and we are keeping Shahbaz and his family in our thoughts as we follow this developing situation. The statement continues, Professor Gill continues to be employed part-time by the university, and although he is not teaching a course this semester, he has taught both online and in-person courses for Gies Business for many years, including teaching online courses while working remotely from Pakistan. Joining us this morning to talk about this complex situation and how it fits into Pakistan's current political climate is Dr. Adil Najam, Dean Emeritus and Professor of International Relations and Earth and Environment at Boston University. Dr. Najam, thank you for your time this morning. Welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So let's just begin with some context for our listeners. Pakistan underwent what we call a regime change in April of this year. Can you briefly bring us up to speed on what happened there?
Pakistan politics has always been complex. It's never in 75 years been as complex or messed up as it is right now. The government of Mr. Imran Khan of the PTI, as you mentioned, was subjected to a no confidence measure, which in a parliamentary system means that the majority of members of the parliament voted his government out, including some of his own party. And since then, Mr. Khan has been running a very, very intense and successful campaign against the government that came in after his removal. Mr. Khan has claimed that he was removed by a conspiracy of the U.S. State Department with those who have come into power. Now, that is not really a credible argument factually, but it has incited a lot of sort of anti-American rhetoric and made Mr. Khan very sort of popular on the street. So as a populist move, it's worked very well. But the result of that is that since April, the country has really been politically paralyzed.
And, you know, it's interesting from an American perspective. I mean, Pakistan has had an interesting relationship, to say the least, with America in the past decades. Are there good guys here, bad guys? How do you see this?
I don't think there are any good guys. And the guys who become more bad at one point than at others. But certainly at this point, it's really a game of chicken between Mr. Khan, now in the opposition, and the government. And by a game of chicken, I mean is both are kind of daring each other to make a move even bolder and more audacious than the previous one. Mr. Khan's government was, for example, criticized much for its treatment of opponents due because of human rights, pulling people into jail, subjecting them to all sorts of discomfort, etc. And in some ways, the government has now upped the game, kind of saying, well, we are only doing what you did. But what that means is it puts this country in this downward spiral of a game of chicken where no one is really willing or interested in backing down. So, and Mr. Gill has become sort of the latest episode in many ways in that game of chicken.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about then, because so what you're saying is the Khan government was accused of these human rights violations, if you will, jailing political opponents. Now that they're out, the other government is saying, well, we're doing the same thing you did. How does what is happening to Professor Gill fit into, especially what he experienced in police custody, fit into this larger cycle of political victimization?
So at least in the first few days of his custody, I'm sure he was subjected to all sorts of indignity, physical as well as psychological. And there was some suggestion, although not by him himself, that it might also have been sexual. In some ways, that is not an unbelievable proposition, given the system and past experiences. But it became a much bigger thing in those initial 2 days before this went to court, and the court sort of put in measures of sending him to a medical facility, but while still in prison. So this has become a major political thing in that sense. It is clearly a act of political vendetta, if you will, or victimization, which is what Pakistan politics has been reduced to. A lot of the people who are now in government had spent long periods under duress and sort of very bad conditions, including similar torture, when Mr. Gill's party was in power. And they kind of come on television and say, well, but you did it, so now we did it. And that is how democracy in the country is really being hurt, because this game of chicken has become pretty intense. Mr. Gill has been a very divisive personality. He sort of emerged kind of out of nowhere the last few years and has become ideologically very close to Mr. Khan, and is seen as someone who is kind of driving or helping Mr. Khan develop the populist agenda that is making him popular. So he had become a very major figure in the media, on television. He was kind of a shock trooper. He would say things that were shocking and intense, and that has also fed fuel to this fire. But at the bottom line, sort of, irrespective of what he might have done in general through his shock treatment and in that statement, which the government claims was inciting the military to mutiny, irrespective of that, the air of political victimization that Pakistan politics has come into is disturbing a lot anyone who is interested in the future of democracy in the country.
What would happen? So when Professor Gill was denied bail, former Prime Minister Imran Khan gave a speech at a public rally, threatened legal action against the police officers and judges involved in Gill's arrest and detainment. For that, Khan himself was charged under Pakistan's Anti-Terrorism Act. What could happen in the country should he be arrested?
Well, it's happening literally as we speak, this Mr. Khan's trial. So, as you rightly point out, after that arrest of Mr. Gill, the political rhetoric from the PTI, from Mr. Khan, was raised. It kind of became this flashpoint, irrespective of the incident itself. And in a public rally, in a massive public rally, Mr. Khan threatened a judge. Essentially, the English translation would be saying something to the effect, "We will take care of you," and that the judiciary has now taken notice of. He was then charged. There are two charges. One is by the judiciary itself for abuse for contempt of court, and the other is by government under the Anti-Terrorism Act. Now, this is not to say that he's been charged as a terrorist. In the Anti-Terrorism Act, there are provisions of inciting violence. And that is what he has been charged under. And again, for Mr. Khan and his followers, this is seen as an attempt to defang Mr. Khan and somehow legally, using the judiciary to remove him from politics by disqualifying him. This, for example, had happened to the previous prime minister, the one who Mr. Khan replaced. He was removed for, on some judicial charge, and therefore made the verdict was that he couldn't run for election. And Mr. Khan claims that is what is being tried against him. On the other hand, if you listen to his opponents or those supporters of the government now, they are saying that inciting that has happened from Mr. Gill, from Mr. Khan, from their side, and the constant ratcheting up of the rhetoric, which has become pretty intense, required some red line to be drawn. At this point, it's been drawn around first Mr. Gill's arrest, and now the statements made by Mr. Imran Khan.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the arrest in Pakistan of Shahbaz Gill, who is also happens to be a professor at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, part-time in the business school there. He wasn't scheduled to teach this fall, but he has taught online and in-person courses at the U of I for many years, including while working remotely from Pakistan in the government of the now former prime minister, the opposition party leader. And Gill has been arrested. We're talking about this with Professor Adil Najam, who is from Boston University. And what you're describing, you said it's the greatest period of political instability. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but in 75 years, one thing that does seem very constant, to at least to this outsider in Pakistan, is the military. What role are they playing in all of this?
They are clearly playing a role in one of the great surprises and maybe the cause of this immense instability in a place where instability is actually normal, is that it is now sometimes difficult to pin down what the military is doing. So Mr. Khan claims, has this word he's coined when he mentions the military. He doesn't say military, he says the neutrals, because the military says, well, we want to be neutral in politics. And Mr. Khan's rhetoric seems to suggest, well, you shouldn't be neutral, you should be supporting me. And when he was in government, the general consensus was that he was working very close with the military. And when the military took its support back, they, according to him, in conspiring with Washington and the State Department of the U.S., removed him. So that's his rhetoric. On the other hand, the military is clearly a major force. And Mr. Khan, again, in his speeches, kind of hints at, without saying as much, hints at that all of these things, including Mr. Gill's arrest, could not have been done without not simply the consent, but the active participation of the military. Now, on the part of the military, they're saying, well, we heard you guys, and we are really trying to stay out of it. So don't bring us back into it. It is not clear who to believe, and probably none of them ought to be believed, because it is certainly clear that it is not as if the military has gone away from Pakistan politics, but the mess is kind of also happening, that their hand, which is usually much clearer, is not clearer right now. Now, all of this is happening in the midst of one of the greatest disasters that has happened in the country, that has seen many disasters, in the form of these massive, massive floods that it is going through right now. And so you have divided politics, a major climate catastrophe unfolding, which is affected by most counts upwards of 30 million. And that is what has brought the country into this downward spiral of this day.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we only have about a minute left in our conversation, but our listeners may not know that you are an expert on international relations as it relates to earth and environment. You are a co-author of some previous iterations of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the big international reports on that. And you mentioned this flooding. It's affected 33 million people. There is a 100-kilometer-wide inland lake. People are calling it a monsoon on steroids. I mean, is this, you know, is this a climate change induced instability that's happening right now?
Having spent my life studying climate change, it clearly is. That doesn't mean floods wouldn't have happened. Floods are a regular feature in that geography. But the immensity of this and the intensity of this and the frequency with which they are coming, this is not just one incident. We had a massive, massive monsoon, which meant that the monsoon is always intense in Pakistan. This was 8 times the regular intensity. And on top of that, now we are seeing a glacial melt and monsoon-induced flood in the north, which is coming right on top of that. As I mentioned, right now, upwards of 30 million people are affected. To give your readers or listeners an idea, the area that is currently affected by the floods would span from Maine down to Florida.
Wow.
It would span in vertical length the entire sort of height of the U.S. And floods mean not a city, not a single area, but in hundreds of kilometers, and you see nothing except water. And we are now actually not at the end of this. We are, if we are lucky, in the middle of this.
In the middle.
Which means it's only going to get worse, and bad politics in times of bad catastrophe makes everything worse.
Adil Najam, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show. A sobering conversation. We very much appreciate your time.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Please stay with us.